It's 40 years since the original Mods May Day recording at the Bridge House Pub in Canning Town, East London, all those years ago in 1979. It was kind of a low-key release, and we just had no idea that the original pressings, that it sold like 40,000 vinyl copies. No singles released. It sold that amount, very, very quickly, which was really astounding when I learnt later how successful it was. So what we're really doing, Mods May Day, is something that's gone on over the years, where it's a gathering and a meeting of like-minded people, which is why, despite some negative press back in the day about, mods coming back and isn't it a little bit of a, revival joke thing, and you look at it now, the New Musical Express magazine in the UK, they supported us to start with, and then they kind of ridiculed mods coming back. Well, NME's gone now. It's no longer something you can buy at your local magazine shop. But hey, guess what? Mods May Day sold 1,200 tickets in less than a week at a venue in North London where I live in Islington. So you know what? We never went away. But publications like the NME, they've long since gone. So we kind of outlived our critics, and we're still flying the flag, the mod culture flag, to this day. We was actually signed separately to Sire Records in New York, and we had a Premier Talent, we're our agency for work. And the last tour that we did was actually 65 shows in the USA, and we did it unbelievably all by road, coast to coast. It was a great experience, but back in the day, if you disappeared for 3 to 4 months outside of the UK, and then you came back, that the UK audiences had kind of moved on to the next thing, whether it was New Romantics and Spandau Ballet and whatever. It wasn't the audience that disappeared on us, the mods. It was the business, the record industry, and the BBC radio network that just wanted the next big thing, and they just kind of forgot you. It's one of the reasons why we broke up, because we couldn't really go to the next level, if you like. When we broke up, I think it was 82, we did one last UK tour, which was a sellout club tour. So we decided at the time to go out on a high and not go backwards. We just told the record company we'd called it a day. Moving on from there, we've all had very different lives, and at one point in the 90s, for a whole decade, I was the special projects and events manager globally for Gibson Guitars in Nashville. I ended up actually opening their first office in corporate office in Memphis, and I lived in Memphis. I became a Memphian, so which was a wonderful part of my life. It was many years later that we were made an offer to reform in 2002 as an original lineup, and we did that. And we sold out Shepherd's Bush Empire, which is probably, I don't know, a 2,000 capacity venue. Ian Page and I always were a secret affair, with all due respect to original band members. And we put another lineup together for a scooter rally on the Isle of Wight, and it sold out at 3,000. We were playing an ice rink, and the invitations to keep playing never stopped. And the next thing you know, we're playing 2 nights in Tokyo. We're playing Moscow for the first time ever, which was fantastic, and all across Europe. And recently we've had continual offers to play the States, but we've got problems with the huge expense of American work visas, which we're kind of looking at the moment. So really, it's great that we're still doing this, and that we've got a promoter behind us, Adrian Gibson, in the United Kingdom. We're just in the middle of a 14-day proper big boy tour, and we're selling out again. It's kind of come back full circle after 40 years, and it's extraordinary. It really is. The audience that have waited all these years to see us again, it's just been I can't tell you how satisfying it's been for all of us as a band, and it's just wonderful to be back.